Two gentlemen. One day in the evening, as I was on my way home, I saw two gentlemen standing and saying something in front of General Library. Both wore similar trousers and shoes, but their coats were different. One of them had a hat on his head, while the other was wearing a turban. One sported a beard. Many people had gathered to listen to them. I also went and stood among them. It did not mean that everyone was listening to them carefully. After listening to their speech, everyone returned to their own respective homes. I also went home. They were preaching the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the sins of mankind. After 5 or 6 days, according to their schedule, they came to the same place and started preaching. Again, there was a crowd listening to their speech. One among the audience said, "Let us first listen carefully to what these gentlemen have to say, and then we'll decide what to do." The preacher said, "We have come here to tell you about the good thing which will be beneficial to your souls. Therefore, we request you to listen to us carefully, and if you have any questions, you may ask us later. We will try to answer them according to our knowledge." In this way, after listening to them for an hour, around 20 of us went to that particular house. There was a small hall where around 30 people could sit. "If anyone has any question, he may ask it," said the speaker. Then one of us stood and asked, "If you are really telling these things for our benefit, then why do people mock you, stone you, and persecute you?" One of the preachers said, "Yes, all right. Regarding religious matters, we differ from them. We believe that there is but one God, while they believe in multiple gods. The way of salvation we proclaim is also different from what they assume. We strongly believe that Jesus Christ can save people from their sins, and these people do not believe this at all. There is a difference between heaven and earth as far as our opinion and theirs is concerned. If they study prayerfully and meditate with faith, they will come to understand that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." After having few more discussions, we went home. As I lay on my bed, I kept thinking of the things I had heard. I could not sleep because of this very thought. I thought about the fact that these people believe only in one God, while we believe in many. Then, are they right or we? Both cannot be right, neither can both be wrong. I was confused with this thought. Finally, I thought I could clarify this doubt when those gentlemen come again. When those gentlemen came at their regular time, I also went and joined the other people listening to them. I was carefully listening to them, but I did not have the courage to ask questions. I was afraid that if I asked them question with curiosity, what will the Hindus think about me? This time the preachers were talking about sin and its result and the true and easy way to get rid of it. As they finished their speech, I stood there with great courage and I said to them, "In our Hindu religion there are various ways given regarding the forgiveness of sins, meditations, idol worship, sacrifices, holy bath in Ganges, pilgrimage, holy fire. Then, if what you say is true, doing all these things will be vanity. In ancient times, great sages and saints have done meditations and sacrificed and received the enlightenment. Is it all hypocrisy? We have been following so many traditions from our forefathers. Leaving all these things and trusting your view is a great puzzle for me. There is an idol of Venkatesh in my house. Bathing the idol, performing pujas, crowning the idol, offering naivedya, food, to the idol and all these rituals are done by me daily. Although I am just 15 years old, I am very much interested in religion and I believe that doing these things will enable me to come closer to God. With that hope I do these things and am not doing it just for the sake of duty. It is not right for me to forsake the Brahman religion of my father and be converted to your religion. You may understand from this speech of mine that I have not talked in vain as a mocker." Those preachers and the gathered Hindu crowd listened to me very carefully. Then one of the preachers stood up and said, "As we have listened carefully and peacefully, in the same way, may you also listen to what we have to say regarding these things. God is holy, and he cannot let sin go unpunished. This thing is known well by all mankind. Whatever God does is right and holy. The first man and woman he created were also holy, and therefore he communicated with them very often. He had fellowship with them, protected them, and took care of them. He kept them in the garden and gave them one important commandment. But Satan, who is the enemy of entire mankind, was not happy with this. He went into the garden and tempted them to break the commandment of God, and thus man went away from the presence of God, for God himself expelled them out of the garden. Nevertheless, the grace of that gracious God remained with them. And when the fullness of time had come, he sent his only begotten Son into the world to redeem mankind from the curse and the bondage of sin. For whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. With such words, they explained many things. After coming home, I began to think that there is no comparison between the one way of receiving forgiveness that the gentleman had preached and the many ways we Brahmins followed to receive forgiveness. There was a huge difference. Then, what is the harm if I accept this one way of salvation? Yes, but I must think deeply before accepting this way, so that I would not have to regret for making the wrong choice. Notwithstanding, I made up my mind to accept this one way and continued to ponder over this very thought.